All right, John chapter 20. Look at verses 1 through 18. The first day of the week. Now, what day is that? Sunday. Is Sunday the Sabbath? No. Sabbath is what? Saturday. Starts Friday night, ends Saturday night at 6 o'clock. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, early when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, who would that be? John. And saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter, therefore, went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. Now, here's an interesting thing. You would think that at least somebody would realize all the times Jesus told them that he was going to be what? Die, be buried, and rise again, what, 3 days later? Somebody you would have thought would have had a V8 that morning and said, you know what? He's not there. He's risen. But you know what? They did not grasp that truth. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lying, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and what? Believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead, even though they were taught numerous times. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said, say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be what? The gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I'll take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Then notice, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Now, you know, once a year we celebrate a holiday called what? Easter. Some have named it Resurrection Sunday. But in all reality, every Sunday we meet together is a commemoration of Christ rising from the grave. He rose on the first day of the week, and that's why we celebrate or we hold services on the first day of the week. We don't hold them on Saturday. We hold them on Sunday. And you know what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a cardinal doctrine of the Christian faith. You know what? If he didn't rise from the grave, you know what? Let's just shut the church down. There's no need to have it. Now, this morning, I kind of want to focus in on one aspect of this resurrection, and that is the body of Jesus Christ, the resurrection body of our Lord. Now, his body could not be touched for a while. Notice what it says in verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, speaking to Mary, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended, what? To my Father. But go to my brethren, say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and what? Your God. But then notice what it says in verse 27. Then saith he to Thomas, now the he there is Jesus, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but what? Now he's telling Mary, don't touch me. Then you get to verse 27, and he's saying, hey, put your hands, Thomas, in my the print of the nails in my hands, and thrust your fist into my side. And you know what? You say, well, why could he? Why does he do it for one person and not the next? Well, listen, there's an important reason for this. In both the tabernacle and in the temple, the high priest on the Day of Atonement would take that sacrifice and he would take that blood in a basin and he would go in to the Holy of Holies and he would apply that blood on the mercy seat. Well, from the time he took the blood at the brazen altar into the time that he sprinkled it on the mercy seat, he could not be touched by human hands. After the blood had been sprinkled, however, then he could be touched. Now, Jesus is our what? High priest. Correct? Now, he had been the lamb that was slain, right? And he paid the price for our sins in his own precious blood. Now, as a resurrected Savior, what did he need to do with that blood of his? That blood had to be put on that mercy seat in heaven. Did it not? And notice what Jesus said. I have not yet what? Ascended. So as our high priest, he hadn't taken that blood and put it on the what? Mercy seat. Notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 through 14. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 through 14. It says, but Christ being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Now, I want you to understand something. When Moses made that tabernacle, he made it according to pattern, did he not? What pattern? The pattern of the one in heaven. You say, is there a tabernacle up there? Yes, there is. Is there a mercy seat up there? Yes, there is. These were all just patterned after the one in heaven. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own what? Blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained what? Eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So what was Jesus? Jesus had yet to take that blood that he shed and apply it on the mercy seat in heaven. That's a wonderful thing. You know, when you read about the Day of Atonement, in the Old Testament, that blood covered sin for what? A year. Every year they would have that Day of Atonement. And once a year the high priest would go behind that veil and apply that blood of that goat on the mercy seat. But you know what? When Jesus died, he took his blood, he applied it on the mercy seat once and for all. That's why we have an eternal redemption. And by the way, our sins are not covered. They are cleansed forever. But that's why Mary couldn't touch him. Well, why could Thomas touch him? Listen, Thomas, that event took place 8 days later. So he had already applied his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. You know, there are those who say, you know, the blood of Christ that just perished in the dust on Calvary. Such is not the case. That blood is incorruptible, and that blood is on the mercy seat in heaven. Now, when Thomas saw him days later, he could be touched because he ascended to the Father, sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat, and finished the fulfillment of that tabernacle type. My, what a high priest we have. Then notice, his body has scars. Look at verse 25 and 27 of this chapter. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side," what? "I will not believe." He didn't say cannot. He said, "I will not. I don't care what you guys say. I'm not believing it." And then notice verse 26 and 27. "And after 8 days again, his disciples were within that upper room, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace be unto you.' Then saith he to Thomas." Now, was he there when Thomas made that first claim? No, but he knows all things, doesn't he? "Then saith he to Thomas, 'Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it in my side, and be not," what? "Faithless, but believing." He says, "Thomas, you need to believe." And then notice what Thomas does. I don't even think he did any of that. Doesn't say he did, does it? But notice how he responds in verse 28. "And Thomas answered and said unto him, 'My Lord, am I what?'" Yes, Jesus is God. Thomas would testify to that as well as all the apostles. But you know what? Here's the unusual thing. The resurrected body of our Savior has scars. He still bears the scars in his hands and his feet and in his thigh and in his side. And I believe that probably the scars are still on his forehead where the crown of thorns were pushed upon his brow. You know, have you ever thought about the glorified body that you're going to get? I do. I can't wait for that thing. And you know what? It's going to be perfect, isn't it? You know, if you have any scars, how many think that's still going to be there when you get to heaven in your glory? No. You know, the scar I had right here, that 28 staples there, that's all going to be gone. That's right. I can't wait for that. You know, we are going to have perfect bodies in heaven. We're going to be without blemish. Now, notice what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42 through 44. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42 through 44. It says, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body." Then look at verse 51 through 57 of this chapter. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be" what? "Changed." Isn't that good? Now this is talking about our what? Glorified bodies, is it not? This is a great verse to have in the nursery wall, but that's not the one it's referring to. Earl got it. Good. Some of you will get it next week, but that's okay. "In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye." Now, that's pretty fast, isn't it? That's right. Oh, Slay finally got it. There we go. We'll have that throughout the Sunday morning Sunday school class. "At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised" what? "Incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us a victory through our" what? "Lord Jesus Christ." Now, if Jesus didn't rise from the grave, do you think we would have the promise of a glorified body like unto his? Not at all. But his body will bear scars. Ours will be perfect. He will be the only person in heaven that has scars. Now, notice what it says in Revelation chapter 5, verse 5 through 7. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5 through 7. Lest any of you think I'm just making this stuff up. We do have scripture. Amen. Here we read this. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it what? Had been what? Do you see that? Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Now there's going to be one in heaven who has been what? How was he slain? He was slain by crucifixion. He will still bear the scars. He said, well, preacher, why in the world would he be the only one to bear the scars? Have you ever thought about that? Well, could it be he doesn't want us to ever forget the sacrifice for our sins that made heaven possible for each and every one of us? I believe that's the case. You know, even now we have memorials of his death, burial, and resurrection, do we not? Isn't that what baptism pictures? Isn't that what the Lord's Supper pictures? And what does he say? He says, do this in what? Remembrance of me. So he never wants us to forget the sacrifice for our sin. He paid for our salvation. That is the reason why we get to go to heaven in the first place. Now, I don't know about you, but it's going to be an awesome thing to see Jesus in his glorified body and all of his glory, and then to see those scars on his hands, his feet, perhaps those scars on his brow. I think it's going to be humbling. Then notice he could walk through walls. Notice what it says in Luke 24, verse 31. 24, verse 31. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Then take a look at John chapter 20 and verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, that's what? Sunday. When the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be what? Unto you. Now how did he get in there? Did he knock? Did someone open up the door? No, he walked straight through that door. Now that's amazing, isn't it? You know, I can't wait to have my glorified body and just be buzzing around, not having any obstacles, amen. And won't that be great? You know, everybody's supposed to get their mansion their own, right? Yeah. I'm not going to knock on Connie's door. I'm going right on in. I'm going to make sure she's behaving up there. Won't that be wonderful, though? I think it's great. We'll have a body like unto his. We will not be hindered by any walls whatsoever. And then notice, he wasn't known readily. Look at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Now here we read about two disciples on the road to what? Emmaus. Notice what it says in verse 15 and 16. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should what? Not know him. Then look at John chapter 20 and verse 14 and 15. Now here we read about Mary Magdalene, and it goes on to say, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Now, he was not readily known, was he? Also, turn, if you would, to John chapter 21, verse 4 through 7. John chapter 21, verse 4 through 7. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was what? Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, What? No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and then cast himself into the what? Sea. Now, all three instances, they did not recognize who it was. Pretty incredible, isn't it? Now, when you read about the disciples on the road to Emmaus, it was when he gave thanks for the meal that they recognized who it was. When you read about Mary, what? It was his voice when he spoke to Mary that she realized who it was. And here, it was a miracle that finally got the disciples to realize who it was that allowed them to catch all the fish. Now, he was not known readily. Now, something about the resurrected body of Christ made it difficult for his followers to recognize him. But however, he did make himself known. In other words, the resurrected body of our Savior could be recognized, but not readily by the eyes. It was something that Jesus did that caused them to realize who he was. You know, it was his true character coming forth, wasn't it? You know, when we get our resurrected, glorified bodies, we're still going to have some character traits that people will be able to recognize about us. Amen? And they'll all be good character traits at this time. You know, some of us may not be known by good character traits today. But then, all our good character traits will be manifested. Now, his body was one of flesh and bones. Look at Luke 24, verse 39. Luke chapter 24, verse 39. And says, here Jesus is speaking, Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not what? Flesh and bones as you see me what? That's pretty interesting, isn't it? You know, the body which we will live in forever will have flesh and bone. But you know what? Those bodies will never get sick. They'll never die. They'll never need another prescription. You know, my little prescription thing keeps growing. Pretty soon I won't have to eat breakfast. I'll just take pills. I mean, it's horrible, isn't it? How many feel that way? Yeah, it's like, you know, one of these days I just want to throw them all in the trash and say, forget about it. But you know what? We won't need any pills then. I won't have diabetes. Amen. I'll be able to eat as many donuts as I feel like it then. You say, why, you restrict yourself now? No. But I got, yeah, it's still good. So a lot of things don't change, will it? You won't have to worry about diets or anything. You know, like Joe, he got on the Dolly Parton diet. And now we refer to him as Jolene. Jolene. That's a sad one, but I heard it yesterday, and I thought it was worth repeating. but flesh and bone. Does not the Bible say we shall be like him when he returns for us and we get that glorified body? Now, we're not going to get that glorified body until he what? Until the rapture. That's when the day of our redemption will be complete. You say, well, I thought I was already saved. You should be if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. But you know what? Right now, as of now, you're saved by you're saved, your soul, your and your spirit are saved, right? But we are a tri, what do they call that? Tri something, being. Huh? Okay. Jolene. But we are composed of what? Body, soul, and spirit. But our spirit and soul are saved right now. And then guess what happens at the rapture? Our body gets saved. Isn't that good? Yes. But until then, your body's not saved. It's decaying. It's corruptible. But one day we will put on incorruption. Now, did Jesus say his body had any blood? No, not at all. You know, when Adam sinned, what happened to the blood of man? It was tainted, wasn't it? Death entered in. And you know, there's life in the blood, but you know what? When man sinned, sin came into the blood. And guess what? That tainted blood now causes our death. Hence, our resurrected bodies just have bone and flesh. Now, it's interesting to note how real his body was. He said, hey, touch it. It was real. He wasn't just a spirit, was he? No. And our bodies are going to be real. It's not a figment of some preacher's wild imagination. We will have bodies just like our Lord. You know, that resurrected body is real, but so is heaven. You know, there's no need to doubt what the Bible says about heaven. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. Just this morning, I said, how you doing, Earl? He says, well, I'm still breathing on my own. And I said, well, you know what, Earl? You'd be better off if you weren't. You say, oh, no. Who wouldn't want to be in the Father's house? I would. Who wouldn't want to be with Jesus? Who wouldn't want to be with departed loved ones? Of course. There's going to be, heaven's going to be a real place. Now, what will be in heaven? There'll be streets of gold, transparent as glass. There's a wall around that New Jerusalem, 140, I can't remember, but it's tall. It's like 200 some feet tall, and it's going to be garnished with all kinds of precious stones. There's going to be a city there, 1,500 miles square. Unbelievable. I mean, it could fit, from what I understand, if there's going to be levels, because there's like 12 foundations, right? But you know, I think there's going to be levels. So it's not going to be a basement and everybody looks up 1,500 miles. I think there's going to be different levels there. And if there's, let's say, 12 levels, that would fit 286 Earths inside that place. So how many think we're going to, you know, we're not going to be cramped all in there. We got plenty of, there's going to be room for big mansions, amen. And we're going to have plenty of acreage too. That's right. It's going to be wonderful, wasn't it? But anyways, it's real. And there will be all arrayed in what? White linen. Then notice, he ate in his resurrected body. Look at Luke chapter 24, verse 41 through 43. Luke chapter 24, verse 41 through 43. And while they yet believed not for joy, that's incredible, isn't it? And wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat what? Before him. You know, we're going to eat in heaven. You say, really? Yeah, you know what? There is going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. Turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 through 9. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 through 9. Now here it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is what? Come, meaning it's now time. And his wife hath made herself ready. Now who's that? That's the bride of Christ, the church. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. I think it's going to be the finest linen ever known. Clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, right blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of what? God. Now, have you ever been to a wedding? All right. Some of you married guys are looking at me like, really? Have I been to one? Hopefully you were at the one you got married to. But anyways, what happens after? There's usually a what? Reception. Now, when this reception in heaven is going to be awesome, don't you think? I mean, you talk about all those wedding guests, all those saints from all the ages. We're all going to be married to what? To who, I should say, Jesus Christ. Now, I think we're going to be served the best that heaven has to offer. Have you ever been to a wedding or the food wasn't all that good? Okay, Earl has. Most of the time, it's really good, though, isn't it? And what a wonderful day that will be. I don't know what's going to be served there. Maybe there'll be some honey-baked ham. Probably not. The Jewish believers will say, nah, get that thing out of here. But maybe, you know what? There might be just one big brat right across the table. How many think that'd be good? It'd be a beef brat, yeah. Cooked on a grill up in there, yeah. But anyways, I don't know what's going to be served there, but I'm sure it's going to be some good eating. Now, his body also defied gravity. Now, notice what it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Acts chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Here we read this. And when he had spoken these things, speaking of Jesus, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in what? White apparel. Now, his body defied the laws of gravity, didn't it? You know, angels, they zip around all over the place, don't they? And you know what? We'll get a body like that. It'll defy the laws of gravity. It'll go beyond the speed of sound. Probably beyond the speed of light. That's going to be awesome. Then, in his resurrected body, he was interested in details. Turn back to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and notice what it says in verse 5 through 7. John chapter 20, verse 5 through 7. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Speaking of John, then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lies. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place, what? Jesus was interested in details, wasn't he? He just didn't fling that stuff all over the place. He what? Folded it up. He wrapped it up. He's interested in details. You know, when you read the Bible, you say you realize that he even notices when a sparrow falls to the ground. And you know, he's interested in every detail of our life. He knows the number of our hairs on our head. Clayton, you doesn't have to do much counting there, but but I'm, come on. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? He's interested in every detail of our life. What a Savior we have. Then, in his resurrected body, where is he right now? He's right hand of the Father, doing what? Ever living to make his intercession for us. You know, when you read Acts chapter 7, you find that he stood up when Stephen was being stoned. Now, some people have a difficulty understanding that. They say, well, if he's seated, how could he be standing up? Well, you know what? Why do you think he stood up? He was welcoming his servant Stephen home. Anybody who understands the love of Jesus Christ can figure that one out. Folks, we're going to get a glorified body one day. Amen! I can't wait. You know, the older you get, the one you have, you realize it's breaking down. And I was just, Wednesday night, I went to bed, and about 2 in the morning, all of a sudden, man, I was in severe pain. Something happened to my knee. And I was like, what in the world's going on here? I didn't do anything. I didn't hear it pop. I didn't hear it a tweak or nothing. I'm like, what in the world's going on? And I got up. I could barely walk. I mean, I thought I was going to fall down. And I went back to bed. The pain was horrendous. I didn't get much sleep. Next day, I'm hobbled. And I told Connie, I said, man, I don't know what happened. I didn't do anything to wrench the knee or anything. It just happened. And she laughed. That's what you get when you get older. Thanks. But that'll never happen again once I get my glorified body. Amen. All right, we'll have some more in just a few minutes.